I want to talk to you today out of the book of Hosea, chapter 10. Hosea, chapter 10. Talk to you, it's time to seek the Lord. If there ever was a time, there is, and now is the time to turn to the Lord, to seek the Lord. He's always the time to seek the Lord, but we'll see what the prophet has to say here. The prophet Hosea. And he prophesied during the time when there was, under King Jeroboam, and in the days of Uzziah, and he was a contemporary of Isaiah. Isaiah, however, lived in Jerusalem and addressed the prophecies largely to the southern kingdom of Judah, whereas Hosea prophesied to the northern kingdom, Israel, or Ephraim. But let's just notice what the scriptures say here. Hosea 10 and 12, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way and the multitude of your mighty men. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today, and I pray, Lord, that you just open our hearts and our understanding to the truth, Lord, here in the scriptures. Anoint your servant, God, to bring forth the word. Your will be done in each of our lives. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. It is time to seek the Lord. Or maybe what time is it? I know it's not 12 o'clock yet. And each day there's 24 hours, 1,440 minutes. 86,400 seconds. And every one of them is precious in the sight of God, for God has granted us time, and God invented time, because there is no time or limit of time with God. God is eternal. 1,000 years is one day, and 1 day is 1,000 years to God. He has all the time there is. He is time. Praise the Lord. And so time is something we feel we never have enough of. How many have ever said, I just don't have enough time? Of all people, I heard a TV preacher get up one day and said, I would pray more, but I just don't have time to pray. My friend, if I didn't have time to pray, I don't have any business being where I'm at right now. And that goes for all of us, teachers, preachers, evangelists, general population, church members. Praise God. You know, we make time for things we want to do bad enough. Someone said, time is free, but it's priceless. You can own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend time. And once you've lost time, you can never get it back. But I'm thankful that we serve a God, that we can seek Him now. It's not sometime in the future or sometime when time permits. Amen. But we can seek God now. Now it is time to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. With our world and the shape that it's in, I think it's no great mystery to us that we need God. We need help. Our country needs help. People need help, as they always have. And God has always extended help to those who would call upon Him. Amen. So let's look at the first part of this verse. Sow for yourselves in righteousness. And I believe it's a time for you and I to sow in righteousness. And I realize that we're made righteous by the blood of Christ. We're made acceptable to heaven. And He becomes our righteousness when we take on Christ as our Savior. God looks at us through the righteousness of His Son. That's the only way He can look favorably toward us. But graciously, God has given His Son to become our righteousness. And so the prophet here says, sow and reap. Our sowing and reaping was common here in an agricultural society. And so God spoke in a language they could understand. It was nothing for them to go out and sow and to till soil and to make the ground ready to receive seed and to grow. But here it refers to sowing in truth, sowing seeds of truth, sowing seeds of love, seeds of hope in people's hearts. And the Bible tells us, no doubt is a truth, but as a warning in Galatians 6:78 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whoever sows in righteousness shall reap righteousness. He sows to the Spirit shall reap the Spirit. Who sows to the flesh shall reap the flesh," or wickedness. "The enemy of your soul sows tares among the wheat." And this would be common to them, as the book of Matthew talks about this. "And tares look just like wheat until they start bearing fruit. And then it's a different story. But it's time to sow in righteousness. Time to sow God's word in the lives, our lives, and the lives of others. And it's powerful when we send missionaries out on this world and we send you out in our community to sow seeds of righteousness. To let the seed of God's word take effect, because God's word is living and powerful and sharp. And God's word does a lot. Amen. And so if we sow to the fruit of the Spirit, sow in the spiritual things, sow truth in people so that they can hear the truth in a world that's a lie. I want to tell you something. The devil is doing his best to sow lies in our community, in our nation, in our country, and in the world. But I want to tell you, God has called us up to sow truth into people. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Praise God. And so God wants truth to be sounded out across this world. He wants seeds of truth to be sown in every society, every home, every family. Sow in righteousness. And God's time to sow God's word in our lives and others. Obvious, almost everyone, things cannot continue as they are in our world. There's war on every hand. Jesus promised that it would be. There would be war and rumor of war in the last days. But we see it more common and more news on it today than ever. There's war in the Ukraine, as Russia does its best to overtake a country that has lived in freedom to make it a slave to communism. So we know that world will not go on as it is. The development of nuclear weapons in Iran possibly could bring World War III. I'm not prophesying that it will. I pray God it doesn't, but it could. And so we see all these things around us. There's always been threatening things that people have feared, but that tells us it's time to seek the Lord. Man. And here in the people that Hosea was ministering to, they had not sown in righteousness, but they had sown in wickedness, and they reaped wickedness. And God's will was for them to sow in righteousness and reap mercy. I'm glad for mercy. I'm glad the Bible says that His mercy is everlasting, His truth endureth forever. I'm glad with God there's mercy. How many of you have ever needed mercy? Amen. You don't have to raise your hand. I know all of you have. And so God wants us to extend mercy as well. But I'm glad for the mercy of God. And we're saved by God's mercy. And we live every day in the power of God by His mercy. His favor. Amen. His unearned favor. Grace, you call it. And so they had sown in righteousness, but they had reaped. They had not sown in righteousness, but they had reaped iniquity and wickedness. Verse 13, "You have plowed wickedness and have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies." So God is addressing the people here, and He's saying things may be going well on you. You may be living in a time of prosperity, but yet if you don't turn to God, it's not going to stay that way. And so it is time to sow in righteousness. Let's look, second of all, God has a time for everything. Man. And God has made times, days, seasons for humanity and earth. And contrary to those who are trying to do something to control the climate, let me just tell you what God's word says. Genesis 8:22, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. That's what God says. I'm not worried about global warming. I don't care how many politicians use it to project their agenda. God is in charge. He makes the sun rise or the earth turn, whether the sun rise or the sun set, and nothing in human life is going to affect that. God has it set in order. He set all the planets in their way, and it's amazing to me how that they orbit and rotate everything. And God set all this, done all these great things, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. And the reason the world does not go and become demolished immediately is because God is upholding it by His power. And let me say this, you Christian, God is upholding you, and He's upholding us. We don't walk in goodness and freedom and health because that we're so good and so much better than those that are sick. We have what we have because God has extended mercy and grace to us because He loves us, He cares, and He wants us to sow in mercy and reap joy. Amen. And so God made a time for redemption to be completed at the cross. And the cross was not an easy thing. It was the most horrible means of execution that carnal man ever invented. It probably started with the Phoenicians, but in Rome it was very common. But out of this, when Jesus hung on the cross, dripping blood of redemption from His body, not pleasant. Crucifixion was to make a person suffer as much as possible before death. That's the idea of crucifixion. Nobody wanted to be crucified, but many were. And on that cross, Jesus finished redemption's plan. It was there that He shed His blood to atone for sin. The wages of sin is death. But God did something because there was perfect blood shed by Christ, sinless blood shed that day, that there might be redemption for you and I. And a time for it to be completed, and Jesus bowed His head before His death on the cross and said, "It is finished." He didn't mean His life was over. He didn't mean it's finished, the suffering is finished. But He said the plan of redemption, where you can be saved, is finished. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God is willing for every person to be saved. And God will save anyone and everyone that comes to Him and calls out upon His name. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Amen. Saved. And so He set a time you would receive truth and your heart would change. God did that for you. You would be saved, you would be birthed, born again of God's Spirit. God set a time when fear would not rule your life. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're worried about fear ruling your life, there's always something to fear. And people fear things that will never happen. I refer to my family quite a bit. It's okay, I'm sorry. But any time there was a thunderstorm or a thunder outside or rain, and my mother would let's get ready to go to the cellar. That was the place where you went, underground. And because she was expecting this hard rain and hail and tornado and anything you can imagine. It rarely did. It rarely came. Rain and hail did. But you see, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And I'm not talking about just natural things. Spiritual and the spiritual realm. You don't have to fear of dying and going to hell if you're saved. Hell didn't have a place for you. God made a place in heaven for you. And people go to hell because they reject God's gracious offer of salvation. Amen. And so it's nobody's fault that they end up there. It's their fault because they didn't receive the Son of God as their Savior. God gave heaven's greatest treasure to save you. And the Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's God's will for people to be saved, delivered from darkness and sin. But you've got a choice. You've got to do something. You've got to give your heart to the Lord and surrender to Him. And so we see today is the time to draw near to God. It's not a time to gamble with eternal things. I'm amazed at how people just gamble with life. Oh, I'll get saved on my deathbed. I'll get saved if something bad happens. But you don't have any guarantee that you'll have time to get saved. Now is the day of salvation. Today is accepted time. Amen. And Jesus talked to people that were self-righteous. And self-righteousness is just as bad as unrighteousness. Because it's an attempt to make yourself look good enough for God. And only God the Son can make you good enough for His Father. Okay? And the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that time, they were spiritually ignorant. Did not see who Jesus was. Did not ever claim Him as the Son of God. But Jesus made it known to His people that, or to the people of His day, that they needed to seek God first. They needed to take time to pray. And you know who gathered to Jesus to hear what He said? The most awful of sinners, according to the Pharisees, came to Jesus. Not only did they come to Jesus, tax collectors and sinners gladly heard Him. And there was nothing worse of a sinner, according to the Pharisees, than somebody that would yield themselves to Roman government to collect taxes from Jewish people to give to the Roman government. They were considered the worst of sinners. But yet Jesus sat down, ate with them, talked with them. He didn't participate in their sins, but He talked with them. And while one day He was talking with them, there came a woman of the street and came to Jesus and listened to His words very strongly. And she wept, and her tears dropped down upon His feet, and she used her hair to wipe the tears from His feet. Because she was so humbled, she lived a life of unrighteousness, sin, harlotry. But here this Jesus was talking to her and talking to her heart. And that's Jesus who came, Jesus came to save, to seek and to save those who were lost. And they drew near Him. They were glad to hear Him because He had a message of hope, not continual self-condemnation by the Pharisees, but a message of hope. And I'm glad we have a hope today. We have a blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We have a hope, a heavenly hope, an eternal hope, a hope that doesn't fade away over time, not a hope that changes to something else where you can't figure out what it ever is, but a hope that God laid down His life, rose again from the dead, and has promised eternal life to all that would draw near to Him. And let's look at our time. It's time to draw near to God. Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know that its desolation is near. Today I want to tell you Israel is surrounded by enemies and by armies. And Jesus said, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. And I've never been one to try to predict the day of the Lord. Everybody that's ever tried to, they didn't. They were wrong. But we see the signs point to this. Jerusalem has never been without war, hardly. Because there's always been the idea of the enemy to completely annihilate the nation that God raised up to bring His Son through to give life and hope to all of the world. Okay? And so, I believe Jesus could come today or tomorrow before I get home. Amen? He may come 10 years from now. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. People have tried to predict that. The Bible said, you know, not even the angels of heaven. In one place He said, not even the Son. Jesus knows now, but He didn't know in His humanity. If God didn't tell His own Son, is it really likely He's going to tell me or you the exact date He's going to come? Not hardly. He has His own time set, but I believe He does have set time. Amen. The day when He's going to break the eastern sky and say, come home. You've had enough. I've had enough of this sinful world. I want you to leave it behind completely. And we do that when we're saved, but God's going to carry the Christians up and to meet Him in the air, and thus we shall ever be with the Lord. And it's a place that God has prepared for us. The devil, really the hell, is prepared for the devil and his angels and everybody that rejects Christ, His Son. But God has heaven prepared for us. Praise the Lord. And so it's time to draw near to God. Hebrews 10:22 says,
"Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with water." So God doesn't say just barely live enough, good enough to get to heaven. Because you see, nobody is good enough to get to heaven. God is good enough to give us a way to heaven. Amen. Through His Son. So He said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Yes, we can draw near to God. We can make the choice. Say, God, I want to be near You. I want to be close to You today. I'm facing something in my life that I can't do alone. Lord Jesus, would You please come alongside and help? And He will. He's never failed. And He says in Hebrews 10, He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. He says, hold fast. Several years ago, I bought a hat that said, hold fast on it. And as I began to read the Bible, I began to look at how many places those two words are said. A number of places in the Bible, it says, hold fast. That I would mean hang on to something that you can't let go of and don't want to let go of, something you want to keep, something you want to hold. And it says, let's hold fast the confession of our hope. Hold fast the salvation that God has given you. Hold fast the hope that God has put within you. Hold fast, hold strongly to what God has promised in His Word. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And a lot of people, they stir up a lot of things but love and good works. There's people that their main goal is to stir up trouble wherever they are. If it's on the job, they want to stir up trouble between co-workers and especially those who are in authority over them. And so people can stir up anything and everything. But to stir up love and good works should be our goal. To encourage one another to do what God has asked us to do good, to do gracious things to people as God has been gracious to us. And it says, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, pointing one another to Christ, so much more as you see the day approaching. As we see the day of the coming of the Lord, that is coming. And I believe it is. Amen. My friend, I don't want to, if Jesus comes today, I'm glad He'd find me in church and you in church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But God said, assemble together. Amen. I don't know who He's talking to. He's probably talking to the assemblies of God.
They need to assemble together, wherever. It doesn't matter what the name of your church is. It just matters that you what is taught and preached there. Praise God. I thank you for allowing me to go to Acts 6:4 conference this week. It was good. The thing I remember most, we had several two or three African-American preachers. One of them was a woman. I want to tell you something. She preached... She left nothing unsaid about common society. It would have offended a lot of people. But it was true. And powerfully and wonderfully for 45 minutes or an hour, you didn't get bored. You weren't asking, is it 12 o'clock yet? I mean, she laid it out strong, powerful, preaching against sin and preaching about the hope the Christian has. It was wonderful. Amen. I was encouraged. I was strengthened in the faith. If you got a chance to go to your whatever you go to call it up, listen to it. It'll encourage you. Amen. She called sin what it was. She didn't leave male or female out. She missed nothing. But it was great to hear the gospel preached again. Hallelujah. And it says about our day in the book of 2 Peter 3:3, it says, Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. 2 Peter 3:4, it kind of describes our day. And they're saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since The fathers fell asleep. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. If things are really going to change here on earth, they were saying there's just this time just goes on and on and on. There's never any break, and you'll always go on forever, just like it is. But I want to tell you, our world cannot go on as it is. It is fastly headed for judgment. And God will judge this world in righteousness by His own Son. And He will judge the world in righteousness, those who have rejected Christ, those who have made fun of Jesus, those who have mounted billboards and whatever to do away with the name of Christ, those who have put in all the lines of communication things that they hate what God did with His Son Jesus and don't even believe in Him. There's going to come a day of judgment when judgment is going to fall in a hurry and powerfully. You can read three sets of judgments that are going to fall on the earth in the book of Revelation. You don't want to be here. You want to be caught up. You want to be raptured out. You want to be with Jesus, no matter what. Because Jesus, God won't come to this earth to judge you and I. Our sins were judged at the cross, but He'll come to judge those who rejected God's gracious offer of salvation. And so it's time to seek the Lord, Romans 13:11, and do this, knowing the time that it is high time to awake out of sleep. People are spiritually asleep today. Many are. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. How far spent is it? I don't know. Days of Noah, you know, Jesus pointed this out. The last days will be like the days of Noah. They were loose. They were committing every sin possible, and they didn't listen to Noah preach, the preacher of righteousness, and that there was a flood coming. They'd say, oh, man, you know, it had never rained here before like that. But he kept on preaching righteousness, and when it came to be saved, he and his family, they were the only ones, eight, that entered into the ark and were saved because they were ready for his coming. They believed what he said. They believed when he said, judgment's coming, and judgment did came. And water poured for 40 days and 40 nights on the earth until not even the tips of the mountains were seen under the whole earth, and everything in the earth died. And all the people died and were lost forever. But God in His mercy sent His Son. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, who once were afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. God sees the blood of His Son covering your sins. He's saying, come near me. You can come near me. And His blood makes us worthy. I don't feel worthy. We're not worthy. But God makes us worthy. Hallelujah. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So we have a responsibility to pray and seek God. Say, God, I want you. I want to be near you. I don't want to neglect the prayer life. I don't want to pray just when I'm in trouble. But I want to have continual fellowship with you. You don't have to know how to pray good. You don't have to pray in King James and English for God to hear you. But he says in James 4, he says, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Then he says, James is pretty strong. People don't like him because he's so strong. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He's saying this to church people. But he's saying, you know, if you want to get on here to God, clean your life up. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, double-minded, two-faced. Amen. So we can draw near to God, but we have to draw near His way. And it's time to break up the fallow ground. And there was a farming community, enemy plowing and making the soil ready to receive seed and to grow a crop. You knew I grew up on a farm. You can hear me speak 5 minutes and you knew I was a farm boy. And so I pulled a plow behind a tractor for a long time and day in, day out for a lot of times. But in the spring, my dad would hook up to the breaking plow and would break the land, and it would dig down into the dirt deeper, say 10 or 12 inches, probably a foot, yeah. And it would overturn the land because the soil had to be prepared to receive seed to grow. Clods of dirt had to be broken up so it would grow a crop. I can tell you from experience, when land was being broken, it wasn't unusual to see sand toads begin to come to the top of the ground, worms that you wouldn't see otherwise. And let me tell you, there were numerous hawks flying around, and they were having a feast on the sand toads that came up. And they were having a feast. Because you see, when our carnal man is broken up, things begin to surface that God doesn't like. And he wants to rid us of those things. He's not going to send somebody to destroy you. Amen. But he sends his message to clean you up and make you ready to meet him. Praise God. And spiritually, there needs to be a time to soften the spiritual soil of our hearts so that it can produce fruit for the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of hope, love, and peace, and joy. And it takes God to do that. And when we draw near to God, those things begin to come up. And we produce the fruit of the Spirit instead of the works of evil, instead of the works of the flesh. And so there needs to be revival so we can do that. A man told me one time, at the end of his third cigarette, he said, "I'm going to get out here on my vacation. I'm going to do some deep soul searching." Okay? But you see, there's times when he just said, "God, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's a scripture. I want to tell you something. There's times we just need God to revive us, to renew us. Amen. There are times when we say, "God, I want you to come in here and work on this heart of mine. I've been thinking too many bad thoughts. I've been too critical. I've harbored things in my mind. I've said things about people, maybe not to their face, but in my mind, I sure did work them over." I'm saying, "God, would you break up my fallow ground? Would you revive me? Anoint me. Let me be effective for the kingdom of God again." And I say that to the church. Church, God wants us to be effective for his kingdom. He wants us to send this gospel to the ends of the earth. He wants us to love, serve, and live for him because we love him, not because of what we can get out of him. You don't serve God for that. All we get out of God is what God has given. And all everything is an act of his grace. Amen. As a kid, you couldn't wait till Christmas morning when you got to open your presents. Probably you'd sneak in there on Saturday night and try to figure out what it was, hoping mom and dad didn't see you. But you see, God has given us, he's opened such a door for us. He's opened up a means of forgiveness. How many times have you ever needed forgiveness from God? How many times have you ever been unforgiving to other people? The Bible tells us the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us." Amen. Not in the Lord's Prayer, but in Scripture. And so that's what God wants to do. He wants us to be people of faith, people to love, serve, and live for him, to sow the seeds of righteousness and sow seeds that will bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God. You know, parents, sow seeds in your children, in your home. Talk of love. Don't criticize everything they do. I know that some things have to be corrected. There's no doubt about that. But don't be the person that can't find anything good about anything. I've met people like that, and I didn't develop a very good friendship with them. Because you can criticize anything you want to, but let's find good. Let's tell our children, "We love you. There's hope. We correct you because we love you." Amen. We don't want you to turn out a bad way, and then sit down with the Bible, read Scripture, and show them what God said. That's the best advice you can give them. Praise the Lord. So let's seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. One day this world will be completely righteous. In the new heaven and new earth, there won't be a trace of sin ever. I want to be in that new heaven and new earth. And by faith, as we have Jesus, we follow him, we can be recipients of an eternal God, an eternal kingdom that will never fail. Amen. Praise God.